The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimonies. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's get it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another broadcast of the RSVP Show's Declaring War segment. I am going to be diving in this scripture with you here shortly. We're going to be in John chapter 16 for you guys that are going to be taking notes like you do so faithfully every week. I am going to be, of course, highlighting a few things through this particular passage. There's a lot of things that Jesus just broke down very simply and very straightforward for the disciples in this particular season that we're in of his life and walk before he goes to the cross. And so I definitely want to encourage you to dive into this deeply, even after hours, after the broadcast. But I'm your host, April D. Metzler. And if you would mind, let's go ahead and do some prayer real quick and bless this broadcast. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be before you here in this word. We ask that you lead us and guide us and direct us through these passages to apply this to our everyday lives through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and abides with us always. We lean into your understanding, not our own, in the interpretation of the Holy Bible that is before us, Father. We ask that you teach us even more what it looks like in action to be aware of your presence and to know you more, Father. We ask for spiritual wisdom and divine revelation to the knowledge of you for every single listener on this broadcast, as well as those who will catch the replay. And we ask that you have this shared out to exactly who you need it shared out to in your perfect timing, Father. And we ask that you do not allow any word that would hinder a brother or sister in Christ or cause any type of stumbling block whatsoever on over these airways, Father. We know that your word does not return to you void, but it is sent out and then it accomplishes that which it was sent out to do. And so we just lean into your ways and your will, and we ask that this be a blessing to every single listener on this broadcast and only draws them closer to you and your love for them through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name, Jesus's name, we pray. Amen. All right, you guys. So we're, like I said, in chapter 16, John chapter 16, you guys. So if you have your Bibles, we're just going to dive right into this. And it says in verse 1, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me, but these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you." And then we're in verse 5. It says, "But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And then we're at verse 12. It says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So we're going to stop right there. And for those of you guys who are all about taking notes, I definitely encourage you, though, to go ahead. And if there's any word that stuck out to you, as always, I just want you guys to go back to the original, you know, Greek translation and see what that word means in depth. Compare it to the English definitions that you're used to, or even some of the common terminology that's used, because some of the ways that words are used now aren't exactly how they're defined too. And just do some comparison and contrast on those. Of course, I don't know which ones those are, to highlight those and go through that journey with you, but that's for a deeper dive challenge on this scripture. And so I wanted to highlight a little bit about this, though. At this point, you know, Jesus is being very frank with them, and he's giving them a word of caution to pay attention to. And so, you know, right off the bat, he's telling these things in advance so that the disciples are not stumbling blocks, right? They're not going to cause, others to stumble, and they themselves are not going to stumble through this next season that was to come. It's interesting, though, that, you know, they're talking about, you know, very, very big, immense amounts of hatred here that is going to be coming their direction. And he's trying to prepare them in advance. And everything is going to be in opposition of what Holy Spirit is saying to them. And so it's like, in advance, Jesus is saying, not only are people going to hate you, and they're going to try to kill you, and they're going to say that they're doing it in my name of all things, but they're also, you know, going to be the exact opposite of what Holy Spirit is saying. You know, and Holy Spirit's not going to speak on his own initiative. He's going to hear it directly from the source. And so that's who to trust in. He literally gives the keys to overcoming these matters that are, he's telling them, are going to come. It's going to happen. Be prepared. This stuff is going to take place. He's also giving them an understanding that they're not going to be alone, never alone. And there's going to be this foolproof way of conquering these things if we only take the time to listen and hear what Holy Spirit is saying to us, right? And so if we don't connect the dots on this, then we're missing out on a lot of our growth opportunities in the understanding of the Word of God. And it's the spiritual wisdom that we're talking about very heavily in this particular chapter. It's a promise that Jesus states is going to happen. Holy Spirit is going to be sent, because he already went and he's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, correct? So if we understand this and we believe this to be true, then we know that Holy Spirit is here with us and he has been sent to help us. And not only that, but let's be real, like, Holy Spirit is here for more than just high-fiving you as you go along your journey. Like, he's also going to be, you know, Jesus sent Holy Spirit to also convict the world. God was like, we need to make sure that people understand what sin is. We need to understand that they, you know, or they need to understand that they are operating in this, and without Jesus, there, that, you know, there's a missing piece there. They can't be reconciled back to me. And so I'm going to bring their sin to light through this conviction mechanism. Not condemnation, folks. Don't get conviction and condemnation confused. You know, conviction is a good word to go do some research on. If you really want to delve into that, I encourage you to do so. Righteousness, though, it talks about, you know, concerning righteousness, you know, talking about Jesus's righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, right? And so there's a whole other piece of that puzzle. It's not self-righteousness. It's in him. And so in the book of Ephesians, if you want to go down that study, there's a whole huge amount of in him statements that you can learn about, that I encourage you to go check out if you haven't done a study on that. But there is your identity in self, and then there's an identity in Christ. Those are two very different things. And so we'll have, before, you know, we really get to know who Jesus is and who we are in Christ, we operate in a lot of self righteousness. We have our own righteousness that we've attained or tried to, or what have you. And then of course we think we're right. Right. As it's like, there's a path that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death, right? Not to be harsh, but that's what it is. And so there's a whole other level of understanding of what it means to be right or in right standing before God when we yield to the understanding of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we walk in Christ, not in our own strength, but in his strength, not in our own ways or understandings, but in his ways or understandings. It's a draw near to him and he'll draw near to us type of exchange, and we get to know who he is. And so that's what Holy Spirit is, there to do, is he just obliterates the understanding of this self-righteousness and replaces it with understanding what the righteousness in Christ is. And so, of course, judgment is, talking about the judgment of the world. So we're talking about the difference between righteous judgment that is delivered by, you know, by God. And we're talking about versus the misconstrued understanding of judgment of the world. You know, it's erroneous on all accounts. It's not justice. And so we don't want to, believe what the world has to say about really anything. We just want to lean into the understanding of what God has to say about these matters. And so what is justice? What is righteousness? What is conviction? Are the things that this particular verse challenges us to delve deeper into. And so I encourage you to do that. So we're going to go ahead and move on to 16. And it starts and says, "A little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while and you will see me." Some of his disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing he is telling us?" Apparently they were confused, right? And it says, "A little while and you will not see me." And again, "A little while and you will see me" is what they were quoting to one another. "And because I go to the Father," all of this they were questioning. They just literally repeated the same thing he said, but in confused state of existence there. They just didn't get it. And so 18, it says, "So they were saying, 'What is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he's talking about.' And Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, 'Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Oh my goodness. So we're on 22. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. I don't know how much more plainly he could tell them what was going on. Like, I guess he could say it, you know, in some other way one more time. But he has reiterated it very plainly what he meant when he said that I will, you know, you will see me. You won't see me. You see me again, you know. It's like he said it over and over again. And so sometimes it takes that, you know. I don't know, a good example, I guess, would be how often sometimes as parents have to tell our kids to do something before it actually gets done. Or some workers, how many times a boss has to tell you to do something before it actually gets done. Either way, you know, we are co-laborers with and in Christ together with this work that we do unto the Lord. And so it's like that with our walk with him as well. Sometimes it takes him leading us around in a circle right back to the place that we started, because we didn't learn the first time, or we didn't hear the first time, or we didn't do what we were supposed to the first time. And so he's going to bring us back around, and he's going to tell us one more time, tell us again in a different way. Maybe we'll get it this time. We'll understand it this time. We'll hear clearly this time, you know. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to go around in circles. Of course, the, you know, God's grace is sufficient and covers all of these things that we do every single day. I encourage you though, if you feel as if that's you, to put a stop on trying to do the things that you were doing again, you know, like the same exact way, and figure out, instead of you doing what you think is right, maybe seeking some sound counsel from other brothers and sisters in Christ that you are connected with that may or may not have went through similar situations. Just ask around. Whatever this circumstance is that you keep on going around in a circle with, right? See if there is sound counsel on the subject that you're dealing with. And if there's not, and you can't find anybody, then I would sit down and make a list of synonyms of whatever this subject is, right? And then delve into this thing right here, this big old Bible. And find the scriptures around it. And then as you're reading the word, though, like, drop all of your thought process and your understanding and your ways at the door before you go into the presence of the Lord to read this word and gain that understanding, so that you can get that way out. You know, it says, you know, that he has a means of escape that he provides to us. There will always be a means of escape out of these things. And so it's like Houdini, right? That's what it is. It's a little bit like that. Like, you might feel like you're in shackles in a water tank and locked in, and time's running out and the water's filling up and everything else, and whatever circumstance it is, and you're literally the key to get out is this. That's it. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible, but that's a very good example. If you feel like you're a disciple in that scenario, you can relate really well to them about why they weren't grasping, you know, what was going on and the situation that was coming up, and they just weren't really getting it. You know, sometimes we do go in those circles. I, for one, have been through many circles and mazes, and who knows, I might be in one now. If I actually stopped and thought about it, I might be in one now on a particular area of my life. I might need to visit with the Lord about that, right? I think that we can do that every day, though. We can ask the Lord if there's anything that we need to be learning more about that He would like us to learn in this season. I think that that is very important in our relationship with God, to just be humble and submit our lives to Him so that He can point us in the way that we should go. It talks about the way that Holy Spirit leads us. It says, you know, whether you turn to the left or the right, you will hear a voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. So I'm pretty sure He's going to say, this ain't the way. Don't walk in it if we're going the wrong way. Or if we, you know, that circle is counterclockwise or whatever, and we're going clockwise, you know. I don't know. Something to think about, you guys. Something to think about. So we're in verse 25. And I do want to highlight, though, that verse, where does it start at? 23 through 24, if you guys are taking notes. That is a power scripture. I definitely encourage you to memorize that scripture. It is a promise scripture. I hope you guys are catching these words I'm using. So definitely on a note card somewhere, put it somewhere around your house, whatever. John chapter 16, verses 23 through 24. Write it out in handwriting. That helps to recount it to memory. If you do a tactile exercise when you're memorizing things, along with reading it and speaking it, those three things will help you learn the scripture. But John 16, 23 through 24, very powerful scripture. 25 says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, and hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, of course. And didn't I read this already? No, I didn't. Okay, cool. All right. And but I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. Oh, I did. Yes, I did. And then 29 says, his disciple said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So this is, of course, the final piece of the puzzle before, you know, Christ goes into prayer. And that's actually the end of chapter 16. But his death was literally just around the corner. And so he's in this moment preparing them for what is to come, speaking very plainly how these things will unfold, and prayerfully preparing them as best as he can for not only what's to come, but also what their choices are going to be, and as a result of these events that are unfolding. He knew very well what they were. The disciples didn't. And so I love how this is a great example, though, of how God does prepare us in advance for these things. And we can look back at, let's see here. Go back on the part where it talks about Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. Verse 13 is huge. Okay, is huge. I want you to really pay attention to John chapter 16 and verse 13, okay? And of course you can, you know, if you're doing memory verses or you're trying to memorize scripture and stuff, I would encourage probably 13 through 15 on that one, just to have that fullness there. But it says, when, not if, he comes, right? He being the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all, right? All the truth. Nothing is left out at all, right, you guys? And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. We already talked about that. And then that last part in 13, it says, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So Holy Spirit gives us foreknowledge, warning, caution, prepares us in advance for the next season of our walk. Holy Spirit gives us clarity on what we're doing, and what we will do. He gives us, divine connection, unctions, encouragement to connect with people because of what he already knows, what he's already heard, right? And so if we're to be diligent about seeking him and we are serious about our obedience unto the Lord, then we would be making sure to be still enough to hear him. And so I encourage you to, again, as you're studying the word, as you're in your prayer closet, especially today, we've got the National Day of Prayer here in the States. I, of course, encourage prayer all the time around the world. That's a never ceasing to pray, give thanks, supplication, for all people. That's part of our obedience unto Christ, as our Lord and Savior, our obedience to God the Father through him. I just encourage you to take that time to hear him clearly, and pay attention to, your blocking out distractions and, things that can pull your focus away from practicing the presence of God as you're studying the Word of God. Like, make sure that your environment is conducive for reception, right? You want to be on a high level of reception quality. And what does that look like in action is something I encourage you to ask yourself. You want to be able to be a vessel that can receive the fullness in any given moment that God has for you through his word and through your prayer time and, that communication with God, that relationship building time with the Lord. And so if there's anything that you can think of that is blocking that reception quality, then I encourage you to remove that out of your environment and then continue on in seeking the Lord in these matters. And so I think that's all that we have for today, you guys. Know that God loves you. Know that you're not alone, never alone. And I hope that this particular chapter has reiterated that to you, because even the disciples, Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm sending the helper. So I got you covered. Always. Always. And then at the very end of this chapter, he says, yeah, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have drama. You're going to have chaos. That's just the way of this world. But take heart, you know, have good courage. It's okay. I've already overcome the world. I've already conquered this. It's okay. In him is taken care of. You have victory in Christ over it all. And there is absolutely nothing, right, left out of all. So, all right, you guys, God bless you. And see you again next week on another episode of the Declaring War segment here on the RSVP show. RSVP show. Did I say that right? Yes, I did. Okay. All right, you guys. Bye.
Views made on the...
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and His people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Allsup, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.